Yeah. We'll just seek the Lord again, please. Still our hearts, wait in His presence. Just for a moment or two before we come to His Word. Father, we cry to Thee in the words of this hymn. Pray that this time that we spend together would be the means of drawing us just a little closer to Thyself. Pray, Father, we'll be like Enoch of old. We ask that our testimony will be that we walk with God. Pray, Father, that might be known. Pray for Your hand upon the remainder of this gathering. We thank You for all of these little ones. We thank You, Father, for the young families of the church. Bless them. Bless the little ones of the congregation. Remember the feeding of the lambs that will take place down in the children's church. Speak to their hearts, we ask, early in life. And Father, remember all of these activities that are planned. We commit them just to Thee. Remember that special night for Your servants, Dr. and Mrs. Cook. Thank You for their labours here faithfully. For those many years, pray that their hearts will be encouraged. Pray that they'll rejoice, Father, in that evening, Your presence here, the blessing that will be known. Pray it'll be a means just of refreshing them and of strengthening their hands in God, even at this time. Lord, hear our prayers. Open up Your Word. We pray that You'll come near to us. Pray, Father, that You'll teach us today. And pray for the help of Thy Spirit, even in the ministry of Thy Word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Colossians chapter 4, please. Colossians 4 and verse 14. It's the opening part of the verse especially. Colossians 4, 14. Look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. It's that lovely statement. Think of how affectionately Paul speaks of Luke here. The beloved physician. Gives you some idea of how much he loved this man and of the blessing and help that Paul had personally received from him. That is the title of the message in this series of messages on sickness and health. We're thinking today about the beloved physician. I want to point out, and I know it will be of special interest for all that are involved in the medical profession, but I want to point out to you at the beginning that there are several members of the medical profession that are referred to in the scriptures. If you think of the nurse, and I know there are nurses amongst us in this service, there's 10 references to the nurse that you find in the Word of God. The first is to Deborah. You'll remember that Deborah was Rebecca's nurse. Also Jochebed, she became a nurse for Moses, her own son. That is the first reference as well in the Bible to child benefit. You remember that Pharaoh's daughter actually paid her, actually gave her money to bring up her own child. So it's similar to what is known in our society today as child benefit, money coming from the government for the bringing up of children. Remember Naomi as well. Naomi became a nurse for Obed. Obed was her grandson. So I want you to see that there were nurses long before the days of Florence Nightingale. She may have organized it or brought that profession into a more organized fashion, but there certainly were nurses long before Florence Nightingale. I want you to see as well that not only nurses are mentioned, but midwives. That's a specialized part of the nursing profession. There's 10 references also in the Bible to the midwife, 3 in the singular, midwife, and 7 in the plural, referring to the midwives. The first, and always keep in mind when you study the Bible, the first mention of any subject in the scriptures is especially helpful. It generally opens that theme up. But the first reference to the midwife has to do with the birth of Benjamin and the death of Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. The Bible says it came to pass when she, that was Rachel, was hard in labour, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Think of the midwives in Egypt. Their names are given in the scripture. And I think they're given for a special reason. They're given as a mark of honour. Their names were Shiphrah and Puah. You remember that they were the ladies that were ordered by Pharaoh to kill the Hebrew children. But the Bible says that they feared God. What a mark. And it was one of those occasions where they felt it was better to obey God rather than men. Didn't carry out the commandment of Pharaoh. Another part of the medical profession mentioned in the Bible is the pharmacist. The one that makes up and dispenses the drugs and the medicines. Whenever you visit the doctor, generally the next place, immediately the place you go to after you leave the doctor's surgery, is to the pharmacy. The name given to the pharmacist in the Bible is apothecary. That is an old name for the chemist. And it's mentioned four times in the Bible. Remember in the building of the tabernacle, in the days of Moses, thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Solomon as well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, said that dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So you have mention of the nurse, the midwife, and the pharmacist, all in the scriptures. But the one that is especially of interest to us today is the doctor. And it's interesting to note or to point out that in the Bible, the doctor is used of those who studied the scriptures. That title, doctor, it refers to a man that studied the word of God. You remember Gamaliel, Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was Paul's teacher, his mentor. And Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. You remember the Savior when he was 12 years of age. He had come to that age. The Jewish boys have their bar mitzvah. They become of age. And he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And they were doctors of the law. They were doctors of the word. So the doctors in the Bible refers to the one who studied and taught the word of God. In the Bible, it's the title physician that is given to someone who studied and practiced medicine. Generally, the title physician means a person who practices non-surgical medicine. A physician is a person who is a specialist in diagnosis, a specialist in the treatment of sickness, just something like our GP, our general practitioner today. And in all, there are 12 mentions of the physician in the Bible, 6 in the singular, 6 in the plural. The first mention of the doctor or the physician, the doctor in the light, the medical doctor in the Bible is in Egypt in the days of Joseph. Do you remember the book of Genesis says that Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. That's an interesting statement. We'll maybe make reference to it again a little later. But that's the first mention of the physician, the medical doctors in the Bible. Look, the man that's before us is probably the most famous physician in all the Bible. He's probably the most famous medical doctor in all history. And for many years, Luke was a friend. And more than that, he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He was what we could call a medical missionary. And what a work those type of people do. He is the only medical doctor to be named in the Bible. Can I stress that to you? That's a fact that you'll want to remember. The only medical doctor that is actually named in the Word of God. He stands out. And there's not a doubt, as I said, about the midwives a little earlier in Egypt. His name is given as a mark of honour. God names him because he wants to put honour upon this man for his life and for his labours. And I want us to look at, Dr. Paisley has a little booklet titled A Look at Luke's Book. It's a look through Luke's Gospel. Well, we're going to take a little look at Luke's life for a moment or two this morning. And as we do, we want just to learn about medical doctors. What do we learn about medical doctors and the medical profession in general from the life of this man? And just to stress that it's vital, brethren and sisters, whether you realise it or not, but it's something that's vital in a series and in a study such as this, because of what is believed and what is taught, especially by the extreme Pentecostalists and the charismatics, their views on the medical doctor. It's very good to consider it and to know of a truth what the Bible says. The first thing I want to stress is this, a very important truth. It's not wrong for a Christian to be a doctor. I pray the Lord will write that upon your heart. It's not wrong for a Christian to be a doctor. There are certain occupations that God does not approve of. The publican. Remember in the Bible, the publican was the tax collector. But a publican in our day is the man that owns the pub. The man that owns or sells alcohol. I encourage you to get a hold of Mr. Nicholson's poem entitled The Bar. And it'll give you some idea of what he thought of the publican. A bar to heaven and a gate to hell. Whoever named it well, is how that little poem begins. The book of Habakkuk says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbour drink. Does not sum up the publican. He giveth his neighbour drink. That puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also. And did you notice the word the verse began with? Woe. The woe of heaven is upon the publican and upon that profession. It's wrong as well for a Christian to be a witch or a wizard, one that's involved in the telling of fortunes or seeking to tell the future. Some of the strongest language in the Bible is reserved for witches and wizards. They're an abomination in God's sight. It's wrong as well for a Christian to be involved in prostitution, immoral living. You'd think in the day, or you'd think you wouldn't have to emphasize a thing such as that, but sadly in the day in which we live, you do. It's wrong for a Christian to be involved in immoral living. The prostitute in the Bible is called the harlot. Do you remember Rahab, the harlot? And what a trophy of grace she became. The sad thing is, prostitution has been made legal in this land of ours. Is it any wonder the hand of God is upon this nation? Is it any wonder, men and women, that our land has experienced the floods, the natural disasters that it has through this winter? You only have to stop and ponder the direction that our government is taking this land of ours. So there's certain occupations God does not approve of. But being a physician, being a medical doctor, is not one of them. There are bad doctors, of course. We can't deny that. Think of that man, Harold Shipman, so prominent in the news a few years ago, murdered many of his patients in order to get his hands on their inheritance. He was notorious in the medical profession. But remember that even in the Bible, there were bad doctors. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? We're told that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. They were quacks, bad doctors, and there were many of them. She had suffered many things of many physicians. And there's a hint there as well that you had to pay to see the doctor. You had to pay for medical care back in those days. It says that she had spent all that she had. There was no such thing in those times as the NHS. In many ways, we don't realise how well off we are in this country. We ought to bless God for the days and the society in which we live. There are bad doctors, men and women, but that doesn't mean that all doctors are bad. It just means that there are some selfish, greedy people in that profession, as there are in all professions and in all occupations. The Bible teaches us it's not wrong to be a doctor. You think of Luke, was a medical doctor. It's clear by this reference in Colossians and by other references to him that God did not disapprove of this man. God did not disapprove of his profession. God did not disapprove of the work that he did. Luke wasn't a hindrance to God's work. He wasn't a hindrance to the spread of the gospel and the winning of souls. In fact, the opposite is true. Luke was a man that was mightily used in the spread of the gospel. Remember, he was a companion of Paul. Could I ask you this morning to think, would Paul have a man in his missionary team that had a profession, that did a work that was displeasing to God? Would the Lord himself have used Luke, used him to help and support Paul, used him to write two major New Testament books, if the Lord disapproved of the medical means of healing those that were sick? In fact, the reality is, brethren and sisters, by using Luke as one of the writers, and as I have pointed out to you in the reading, the only Gentile writer of the Word of God, the Lord using this man in this way, he put an honour, a great honour, upon the medical profession in so doing. Remember, the first mention of a medical doctor in the Bible back in Genesis is to do with Joseph, one of the godliest men in all the Bible, a man that walked with the Lord through all his life, even amidst times of the greatest trial and the greatest persecution. And it tells us that Joseph called these men his servants. They were there to serve him and to help him. And he entrusted the remains of his dear father Jacob, or Israel, to the physicians for embalming. Is that not a stamp of approval on the doctor of medicine? Is it not as well, to take it even a step further, and I don't want to dwell on it this morning, but is it not what Joseph did there, is it not a stamp of approval also on the practice of embalming, the corpse or the body before the funeral, before the burial takes place? Just by the way, it'll be of interest to some of you at least, it's believed that much of medical science had its origin away back in Egypt. In fact, the word chemistry, that subject that so many love at school, but the word chemistry actually comes from an old name for Egypt. It stresses the fact that much of medical science, much of medical knowledge, had its origin back there in ancient Egypt. Can I go a step further, thinking about Luke, and remember that not only was Luke a doctor, but he was a medical doctor. And it's significant, he's the only doctor named in the Bible. And the only doctor named in the Bible was a missionary of the gospel. If Paul is a model missionary, and he is, then we learn by Luke being a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul that medicine had a part in the spread of the gospel, and that medicine should have a part in every missionary outreach of the church. You see, one of the ways you win the people, there's that old saying about soul winning, to win some you need to be winsome. One of the ways of winning people and touching their hearts and having their hearts open to the gospel is by dealing with their sufferings, dealing with their pains. There's nothing that touches a person's heart. There's nothing that draws them to you if you give them some help amid sickness and amid the suffering, and especially if you aid the suffering of their family members. Medicine should, men and women, we ought to use medical means in our missionary outreach of the church. Think of Dr. Bill Woods, isn't he? Perhaps the greatest modern example of that. Do you remember the young lad that was sick not long after Dr. Woods went to Brazil, and he was called for and he told the lad, "I'll pray for you." And the lad says, "I want you to do something to help me." And he could never get away from those words. The Lord burned them into his heart. And it was through that lad's illness and through that lad's death that the Lord led Bill Woods to become a medical doctor. Every missionary outreach should have some medical means at its, should use medical means in the outreach that it does. Hudson Taylor, if you read his story, a hospital played a major part in the work that Hudson Taylor did in China, establishing the church, establishing the missionary cause of the gospel in that land. God is a work for the doctor to do, even to aid the advancement of the cause of missionary work. And remember, as well as that, many noted Christians and preachers have been medical doctors. Think of David Livingstone, pioneer in Africa. Before he left this country, he studied medicine. Why? Because he knew the help it would be, both to himself and in dealing with the people that he would meet and want to bring the gospel to in Africa. Do you remember how Stanley, the great journalist, described him or addressed him when he first met him, Dr. Livingstone? I presume he was a medical doctor, something we should not lose sight of. Dr. Joseph Bell was another very well-known medical doctor. He was an elder in Alexander White's Presbyterian Church in Edinburgh. He was a very good friend of Alexander White. In actual fact, Dr. Joseph Bell, why is of such interest? He was believed to be the original Sherlock Holmes, the man that the Sherlock Holmes stories were based upon. Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote those stories, studied medicine in Edinburgh, and the man that taught him was Dr. Joseph Bell. And as Arthur Conan Doyle watched Dr. Bell every day, someone came in, he could size them up right away by looking at their dress, their appearance, their hands, and so on. He could give you a full detail of their background, their circumstances, and of their ailments. Dr. Joseph Bell was the original Sherlock Holmes. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones became such a great preacher in Wales, and then in London, in Westminster Chapel. He was a Harley Street doctor. He was assistant to Lord Hoarder in his early days. And Lord Hoarder in those days was the king's physician, the king's medical doctor. Even when he became a preacher in later years and didn't practice medicine, what he would do every Saturday night in order to relax him, he thought it was good preparation for the Sabbath, just to unwind a little, he would sit down and he would read the British Medical Journal. Right through his life he kept an interest in it, helped to keep him up to date. Dr. M.R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, those broadcasts and publications, very well known to many here, I'm sure that many in the congregation have used, or maybe still do, is Our Daily Bread. Or he was the founder of it. He's now gone to glory, and others of the family carry that work on. Think of our own denomination, Dr. Lindsay Wilson, minister in Castle Derg, still practices a little medicine, keeps his hand in. Dr. Stephen Pollock, the new minister in our neighbouring church in Ballymagurney, I understand that Dr. Pollock no longer practices, that he resigned his licence a couple of years ago when he was ordained to the gospel ministry. But they all stress, all of those examples, when we think of their lives and the blessing they've been, it's not wrong, men and women. It's not wrong for a Christian to be a doctor. You know, it's interesting, Mr. Spurgeon, in his lectures to the students, he felt that a minister ought to have a good knowledge of ailments. And the reason for that was that a major part of pastoral work, when you're visiting people, especially those in hospital and as they convalesce afterwards, a major part of pastoral work is to do with sickness. You're talking a lot to people about their sickness and about their ailments. And a good knowledge of ailments is an immense help to a pastor in that regard. And certainly Dr. Wilson and Dr. Pollock have a head start on all the rest of us in that matter. But I want you to think of Jonah. Jonah was asked the question, "What is thine occupation?" And I wonder, is there a young person here in the meeting today, and you're thinking of your future, and you're thinking of what to do with your life, you're maybe asking and praying that question, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, maybe you could be like Luke, become a beloved physician, become a missionary doctor, a missionary doctor of the cross. And I want to urge you just to consider that very carefully as you pray about your future and pray about the will of God. It's not wrong for a Christian to be a doctor. There's another thing, I'll deal with this quickly. It's not wrong for a Christian to go to the doctor. I stressed to you at the beginning how important this subject is. And one reason is this. What the charismatics will teach, what they will tell you, and they will tell you it very strongly, is that it's wrong for a Christian to go to the doctor whenever they're sick. They will use texts such as 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12. Let me read it to you. "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." And they will tell you that the very fact that he went to the physicians there, it brought the disapproval of the Lord upon his conduct when he was sick. And it says he was exceeding sick. He was a very ill man. And it says that he went to the physicians. And they would want to argue that brought the disapproval of heaven. But that verse is not saying it's wrong to go to the physician or wrong to go to the doctor. Asa was wrong because he trusted only in the physicians. That's the key point there, men and women. And I want to stress it to you. That's why the Lord was unhappy with him. He trusted only in the medical doctors. He didn't bring the matter to the Lord. Didn't bring his sickness to the Lord and spread it out before him in prayer. So that text, and in fact there's no text in the Bible that supports their view. Remember this, God uses man. God uses instruments. God uses means. God could do everything himself directly. It's a great wonder. It's a great mercy that he chooses to use men. That is true even in the gospel ministry. God could save souls himself directly, but he chooses to use you and I in that work of spreading his word and winning others. God doesn't always heal directly. He can do, but not always. The Bible teaches that God heals by medicines and he heals by doctors. He uses those people and he blesses their work. Think of Hezekiah. Do you remember that he was sick unto death? I spoke a little up in Tullyvallen on Friday night on that portion. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. He took a very severe illness of boils, and it was fatal. It was going to result in his death. But there was two things, men and women. Two things. Never forget that. Two things that Hezekiah did that brought about his recovery from that very serious illness. God promised that he would recover. God promised he would be healed. God promised his servant he would give him another 15 years. But there were two things that Hezekiah did that brought that about. One was he prayed. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And the Lord said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. He prayed about his illness. And the other thing that he did was he applied the medicine. It says that he took the lump of figs. It was the old-fashioned poultice. I remember as a child getting a poultice or two. Not a very pleasant experience. But those are the two great things that any person, and especially any Christian person, should do whenever you're ill. You should pray, and you should apply whatever medicines are available, whatever medicines are recommended to you by the doctor, by the physician. And as you pray, pray that God will bless the work that the doctor does. That's the vital procedure, brethren and sisters. You think of the Good Samaritan. You remember the man injured in the journey? Do you remember what the Good Samaritan did for that man? He poured in two things, oil and wine. Those two things were the medicines, the chief medicines of the day. You think of the wine. Why do you think he poured the wine on his wounds? Was that not like an antiseptic? Was it not something to clean the wounds, to keep away the dirt and the germs? In extreme cases, when nothing else is available, is alcohol still not used for that purpose? He poured in the wine and he poured in the oil. That was like the ointment. That was the healing balm. Never forget, there are many examples of it in the will of God. We'll look at it next Sunday as well. That was one of the great medicines of the day. So that injured man, when the Good Samaritan came to him, he was like the medical doctor. He brought medicine and he applied the medicine, the oil and the wine, to his wounds. Think of what Isaiah says. He talks about wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And then he went on to say, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. What's he talking about there? He's talking about applying bandages and cream. The same sort of thing that you do with wounds and bruises in the day in which we live. He's talking there just about simple, basic medical treatment being applied. So be in no doubt. It's clear, men and women, God uses medicine. And God approves of the use of medicine in his word for his people. And it also teaches that God uses doctors. And remember, we're talking about the medical doctors. There's that great text. I quoted it to you last Sunday. It bears repetition again today. The Savior said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He was teaching there in the context spiritual lessons. He was talking maybe primarily about the sickness of the soul, sickness through sin. But the principle that he states, it can be applied to physical sicknesses as well. And the Savior's teaching, if you're ill, if you're unwell, you need the doctor. He's saying to you, when you're sick, what you ought to do, and he's encouraging you to do it, is go and see the doctor and seek his advice. And remember that Paul did that himself. Through his sickness, probably myopia, the sickness that he had with his eyes, at times it was revolting to see. It gave him short-sightedness. And that's probably most of all the reason why Paul called him the beloved physician. It indicates that Luke had given Paul much help, much comfort, eased his pain and eased his suffering. That Luke had been a great blessing to Paul right throughout their missionary journeys together. So God uses doctors. God can heal through doctors. And I want to say to you today, don't ever be afraid to go to the doctor. The apostle Paul did, and the Bible sets us clearly the example that we ought to do as well. The beloved physician. Really what Paul's doing here, he's thanking the Lord for the labours of the medical profession. How it had blessed his life and helped his life. And he wants us to be encouraged by that. And he's setting us the pattern to follow as well. I'll say this to you as a finish. Remember that Paul, when he was writing in the New Testament, he uses soldiers and runners and ambassadors and so on. He uses all of those things to illustrate the Christian life and to illustrate spiritual truths. And he does the same with medicine as well. He does the same with the subject of anatomy that the medical doctor has to study. This is what the Bible says. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'd encourage you to ponder that little verse carefully. But that is perhaps one of the most concise statements of the working of the medical body, and he uses it, or the physical body. It's one of the most concise statements medically that you will find anywhere. And it's written there in the Word of God to illustrate spiritual truth about the church and how the church of Christ ought to operate. Where did Paul get that medical knowledge? Where did he get that understanding? From his beloved friend and companion, the beloved doctor Luke. I think it was as a result of many discussions they had had in all of their journeys together. And remember, the Lord uses all of those things. God in his providence brought Luke into Paul's life to help him. And all of that knowledge then, the Spirit of God uses it and brings it out in the writing of the Word of God. But the truth is this. The Bible places great honour and great importance on the medical profession. And the message I want to drive home to your hearts is today that you ought to avail of their knowledge. You ought to avail and benefit from their skill. Don't neglect the medical profession. Don't neglect the doctor that God has blessed you with in this locality. It is something that is God-given. We acknowledge that. Often when I pray with folk at the bedside, I would thank God for the ability and medical things the Lord has given to these people. God has given them that knowledge. That knowledge is limited, men and women. At times, the doctor can do no more. Even the greatest of doctors, and every Christian doctor especially, will readily acknowledge that fact. But when they have done all that they can, then that's when we ought to commit the situation to the Lord in prayer. But we ought not to forget about them and to neglect the work that they do. You being no doubt, the Bible encourages you to support and avail of the work the medical profession seeks to do for us. And I pray the Lord will make this blessing, or this message of blessing and help to your souls today. 512, we'll sing a verse or two. I thank you for your patience, for listening so attentively. The message has been a little longer maybe than I anticipated. There are other things that we could have mentioned. I have a little difficulty at times as I work my way through the notes, thinking of what to leave out and what to include, so that the message doesn't be any longer than necessary. But we do pray these things have been of help to you this morning.